You are listening to Trial Live, hosted by Robert Forteau and Casey Randall. Trial Live is a show about goal setting, triathlons, training, sports, and the outdoors. Trial Live is brought to you by Dream Chaser Leadership and Be Alive.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forteau, and you're listening to Try Alive, and I am joined by my co-host, Casey Randall. She's calling in from Anchorage, Alaska. Casey, how's it going?
It's going great, and that was a super fun new intro. I love it, Robert.
It is great. My friend Chris Davies down in California did that for us and did it real quick, and I think it's a great intro to the show.
Well, awesome. Yeah, I feel like we're so professional now. And you know what? Actually, I was going to ask you. I mean, I know you see some of the stats, and we haven't talked about that in a while, but are people still listening to us out there?
People are listening to us like crazy. I haven't looked lately to see where they're listening from, but I get a report from all of our shows every week, and it looks like people still love our show. You know, we're on episode 19, so we've been on for dang near half a year now. So I think we're doing something right.
Wow. Well, that's really awesome that people are listening. And you know what? Recently, just out and about, you know, going to events here in town, I've run into people who I didn't realize were listening to our show. And, you know, they've had some great compliments. And people really seem to like the last one with Erica Bennett that we had on. And it was fun to learn about a new race. And I don't know, it just kind of blows my mind sometimes when I'm like, wait, you listened to us and you liked it? Thank you.
Of course, you know, it is. It's a great show for inspiration, especially that last one when we talked to Erica about that massive undertaking that she's getting ready to do with the Alaska Man Extreme, I believe it's called, right?
Right, yeah, the Alaska Man Extreme Triathlon, what, July 15th, starting in Seward, Alaska. But actually, Erica yesterday did a whopping eight-hour workout. She got on her bike, she went down the Seward Highway, she came back, then she ran. So she did, what, a five-hour bike, and then she did a three-hour run. And
wow.
She's just amazing. And she's really dedicated, which you have to be to take on a race of that size. So, you know, we'll continue following her. And again, we'll have her back on after the race, too.
Yeah, looking forward to it as well. So I understand you have a few updates that you want to talk about.
Well, first I just wanted to say that I know we have talked about the Denali Road Lottery on here. Of course, this is, I think that's open to anybody, right? You don't have to be Alaskan. I should have checked on that.
I don't think so. I know that you have to apply about right now, then they pick you in June, and you go in September. I think it's like the second week of September or something like that. We need to find out more information. But yeah, it is open now.
Yeah, and I did look. It is September 15th through the 19th, with the 16th being a military appreciation day. But they did raise the price a little bit. It's $15 to apply. If you win, you have to pay $25 for a permit pass. And, yeah, it goes through May 31st. And I would spit out the website. But you know what? It's way too long. So you just Google Denali Road Lottery 2017, and it'll give you all the info on there if you want to take that drive in September, if you're one of the lucky winners.
Of course, yes.
And then also, I just want to give a shout-out to a local here in town, Rebecca McKee, and she's a local coach here with Peak Center Alaska, and she just won for the women's division, a 70.3 in St. Croix, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and that's just, you know, she's been working hard for years. She does the full Ironman races too, and does great. But this was a huge victory for her to come in first place. She was 15th overall, including men and women. But she won the women's, of course, won her age group. And she did it, it was a 70.3, and she did it in 5 hours, 28 minutes, and 59 seconds. So big shout out to her. She is also a cancer survivor. And, you know, just continuing to thrive in other aspects of her life. And we also talked about another coach on our show last week named Lisa Keller, and that's Erica Bennett's coach. And I just wanted to say that she's also a cancer survivor. And I don't think that you have to be, you know, a cancer survivor or you have to go through something terrible like that to be stronger or, you know, compete at a high level. But I know you know a lot of people, you know, through the mushing community and other things that, that you're involved in that have gone through events like that in their life. And, man, they're just tough people. So way to go, all these people who are survivors and out there thriving.
Of course, you know, that's we got to give our hats off to all of those guys, not only the survivors, but all of them like Erica, getting up every morning and just getting out there and getting it, you know, 8-hour training runs. That is amazing. I find myself having a hard time focusing at work for 8 hours. I can imagine doing a training run for that long.
I know, and, you know, I saw Erica afterwards because I actually helped out. We have children the same age, so, you know, it takes a team, it takes a village to, you know, work together so, you know, she can fit in those workouts, but we saw her afterwards, and, you know, she just looked great. She didn't even look like she went and did 8 hours. She was a little ginger, and she was like, oh, I got to stretch a little. I was like, oh, my gosh, yeah, I need to go do a workout too.
Right. I do have a couple of updates as well. Just this past weekend, my wife, Michelle, she did her first ever race on her own. She did the Bike for Women race. She was out there just for fun, but she had a great time. It was a 9-mile race here in, I guess that's still Anchorage, but it's actually in Chugiak. And, man, I can't believe, Casey, how many people showed up for that. I think, like, 650 women showed up for that race alone. So it's not only a huge fundraiser for the organizations that that work for that, but what a way to start off the summer with a race like that for the women in our community.
Exactly. And that's awesome for Michelle. It sounds like she's jumping into a whole bunch of things that maybe she didn't think she'd ever be doing. And it sounds like she's kind of full steam ahead here, right?
Right. She said that, you know, when we were talking to you when we were in Hawaii about her possibly doing Lava Man next year, and I told her the only way that you're going to be able to do this if you jump in with 2 feet. And she started to do that, albeit, you know, a little bit afraid, because, you know, she hasn't ever done anything like this, but I'm giving her some encouragement, which goes to my next update. On June 4th, they're having a sprint triathlon here in Eagle River, Alaska, and that is, I believe it's a 500-meter swim, a 20K bike, and a 5K run. So that is the Eagle River Tri, and then the following weekend is the Why Not Tri here in Wasilla, and I know we talked to Erica about that last time we were on the air. That's also a sprint triathlon. And then I believe it is this month they have the, what is it called, the Moose Nugget? Is that a women's only triathlon as well?
I'm not sure. I know the Gold Nugget. Is that what you're talking about? The Gold Nugget triathlon is all women. Yeah, that's all women. And that is later this month. Yep.
So those three events are coming up here in the next 30 days or so, and that's sort of the kickoff season to our very short season for triathlons up here in Alaska. We typically do them, you know, mid-May to late August or so. I know there's typically one down on the Kenai. I believe it's called Why Not Try the Kenai or Try the Kenai or something like that. I'll find out more information about that. And then we mentioned in July they have the Alaska Man Extreme. And, oh, one other one, just this past weekend they had a triathlon down in Seward called the Pink Cheeks Triathlon. Have you ever had a chance to do that one?
I did do that one once, and it was a lot of fun. It was a number of years ago. But when I did it, and I'm not sure if they still do it this way, but you could have teams. So I did it as a team where I did the swimming part, my husband did the running, and then another friend of ours did the bike. And then, but people can do it all themselves too. And then, of course, the swimming is done in the pool because it's early spring here, or at least for Alaska.
Right.
But I guess, you know, hearing about all these, there are opportunities all over to do races, especially Alaska is a big, we're a big race place. I mean, any weekend you can find multiple listings for if you want to do a running race or a mountain race or or triathlon.
Right. And, you know, and they have them all over the place on the road system here, from Seward to Fairbanks. They have races, whether they are those tries or the running races or a combination of. Are you familiar with the race that they do on bikes? I don't know if it's necessarily a race, but I think it's like a 100-mile race or something. And I believe it's near Valdez. Do you know about that race at all?
Well, I know there's a couple, and I know there's, I think about going up and down those hills, and I hear they're fun. I think I bet it would be a lot of fun. It would be pretty thrilling. I think there's a race that has different levels where you can do like 200 miles, or it might be even more, or you can split it up into less. And a lot of those races, you have a support team. People
right.
have motorhomes or vans, and you know, they'll drive along, and they'll be there to help support you.
So it's similar to, I guess, to our version of the Tour de France here in Alaska. And, yeah, it is one that has multiple hundreds of miles. And that's no easy terrain over there, is it? I know over in the Valdez area, and when you get up near Glen Allen, there's quite a bit of ups and downs, isn't there?
Well, yeah, and especially even driving in a car, you know, around here, that can be, like I said, that can be thrilling in itself, and the scenery, and there's no lack of things to look at. But I'm sure on a bike, it's a lot more serene, and of course you got to watch out for the traffic around here, but I know they try to organize those races and put things out so people are aware that bikes are on the road. But I've never done anything like that, but I do know people who have, and I don't know, Robert, is that in your future? You think you're going to do any of those big bike races?
Oh, no, I don't think I am ready for anything like that. A 200 or 300-mile dog sled race is right up my alley, and I'm not really doing anything. I'm just hanging out on the sled. So I can imagine what it would be like to pedal for a couple of 300 miles on a bicycle. That's got to be tough going, isn't it?
Right. Well, and I know we talk about, I mean, you know, that's more extreme. Those are bigger races. But for people listening, you know, like I said, there's no lack of opportunity to jump in on some of these smaller races. And, you know, it's a great community. People are very encouraging, whether you're the first person or the last person, or you try a race and maybe you don't make it to the end that time. That's okay. Everyone's going to be, you know, giving you lots of encouragement and cheering you on.
Right, for sure. All right, so let's jump over into today's topic. You texted me late last night and said you had a show idea. You wanted to share a story about your mom. And since it is Mother's Day this weekend, what a fitting way to talk about, something that everybody has. Everybody has a mom, at least at one point in their life. And I think that's a great way to honor our mothers and the upcoming Mother's Day.
Right. And yeah, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I know that it's this Sunday, right? And, you know, I'm a mother, but when I think about Mother's Day, I really don't think about myself. I always just think about my mom. And my parents live in Michigan. They live 4,000 miles away, and I miss them like crazy every day. Luckily, they, you know, get to come up to visit. But my mom is actually coming tomorrow. I had called her and kind of gave her the guilt trip of, Mom, I miss you so much. I know, you know, we have all our family down there, and you probably want to spend Mother's Day there, but you could spend it here. And, oh, my goodness, a few hours later, she called me and told me she had a ticket. So I get the best Mother's Day present that I get to spend the day with her on Sunday. But, excuse me, I did want to talk about my mom, and her name is Pam Monroe. She lives in Michigan. And it was 2011. So just a quick backstory. Obviously, some people who are listening know that I was diagnosed with cancer in 2011. But what happened is my mom had come up to Alaska in September, and she just came for 2 weeks just to come visit us. And I had a six-month-old baby, and I had my daughter was two. And I just made a doctor appointment because I was having some weird symptoms. I didn't know what was going on. I thought it was something maybe from, you know, just having a baby. And I thought, well, this is perfect. My mom's here. You know, I'll let her stay with the kids for a short amount of time. You know, I was still nursing my son. I'll go to the doctors. Well, she packed for 2 weeks, and I went to the doctors that day. They ran a ton of tests, and by the next, I knew I had cancer, which is crazy fast to get that diagnosis. But so my mom, who was here for those 2 weeks, those 2 weeks turned into a year. And
wow.
She ended up, you know, she ended up, you know, going 4,000 miles from her home, only had her packed suitcase. You know, she gave up her bed because now she's sleeping on a little pull-out couch in our cabin, you know. She stopped her job, and she came up to just be with us. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. But I wanted to first tell you that, you know, my mom is the kind of mom who made the best chocolate chip cookies. She still does. But we always had a cookie jar, and people were always coming to our house to, you know, get her cookies. She packed – I have two brothers. She packed all our lunches. She wrote I love you notes on sticky notes and put them in our little brown bag lunches every day. She was my brownie leader growing up. She was my Girl Scout leader. She coached my little league teams. You know, she was out there in the yard when my dad was giving me instructions on how to be a pitcher. I played softball and basketball. My dad was a longtime coach. And, you know, my mom was the catcher. She's sitting there catching all my balls as I'm pitching to her. She's basically just the greatest fan ever who sat her butt on hard bleachers for year after year, you know, cheering us on until her voice was hoarse. And I just, you know, when I think about my mom and I think, I just hope that I can be just a portion of the mom to my kids is what she has been to me. And, you know, she has followed me all over. When I went to college, after I graduated from undergrad, I took a little internship in Oklahoma on the Wichita Mountains Wildlife Refuge. Just sounded like fun. And my parents were like, wait a minute, you just went to college and now you're doing a volunteer job. But they stuck with me. My mom drove to Oklahoma with me. Then she drove out to Colorado with me when I applied for a doctoral psychology program at Colorado State University. I didn't get in there. I ended up in Alaska. And came up here and went to Alaska Pacific University for graduate school. My parents supported that. You know, my mom, my dad drove up with me, but my mom has come all these years, 17 years later. She's still making trips to Alaska. But I want to say that my mom has always been a mom first and my biggest fan second. And so, you know, she instilled all those motherly, you know, the rules, the boundaries, the you know, just what she wanted me to know in life. And then now, you know, I feel like she's my best friend. And in 2011, when I was diagnosed with a cancer, you know, she was like, I'm not leaving your side. And she became the mom to my kids. Because if you can imagine, Robert, I mean, I'm going through all these tests. I started chemotherapy, all these appointments. I could not be the mom I wanted to be. And you know, it was heartbreaking at times to have all of a sudden my kids preferred her, you know, my little baby. Like, she was mom. She was giving the bottle. But who else would I want to, you know, be taking care of my kids other than my own mother, right?
Right, right.
And
what,
so
what an
I do
awesome,
want to – oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, what an awesome story. I know you have some more to tell, but, wow, that's an amazing what an amazing story that she came up and really put her life on hold for you guys. But that's what moms and grandmas do, don't they?
Well, you know, they do, and they are amazing. And, you know, until I became a mom, you know, you don't realize what your parents do for you or what your mom is to you. At least I didn't fully understand that until I became a mom myself. And I know that when I was diagnosed with lymphoma, you know, I would just pray every day, just God, let me be mom. Like, I don't know what's going to happen to my body. I don't know I'm going to be after I go through all this, but I just want to be there to be mom. And, you know, that stuff becomes cemented really quick in what your goals in life are, right? Or what your wishes are. But what also happened during this time, I had 4 months of treatment up here in Alaska. You know, like I said, my mom's in this cabin. There's no running water. Of course, she'd come in and use the house, but she was just working herself to the bone, you know, taking care of these little kids. And then my cancer wasn't going away, and I needed more help. So I jumped on a plane, and I went down to Texas, to Houston, Texas, to MD Anderson. And it's a great cancer center, and, I mean, they saved my life down there. But my mom and my husband and my kids jumped on a plane and flew down about a week later. And, you know, here again, my mom's just traveling across the country for us, and she stayed with us. She took care of those children, and she was right there with us through the whole time. But after, and I'm doing good now, and I'm getting ready to celebrate 5 years since my stem cell transplant here in June, which is always, I get two birthdays, because when you have a stem cell transplant, you get another birthday. But after that, after everything, all the treatment I went through, I still have to make trips down to MD Anderson to get checkups. So at first, it was every 3 months, and then that was for the first year, and then it was every 6 months, and then now I've just graduated to once a year. But my mom goes with me and to every single checkup. She gets on a plane and she flies from Michigan and she meets me in Texas and she sits by me. She goes through all the tests with me. She laughs, she cries. I mean, I don't know how she can be so strong and so amazing and so wonderful, but I love being able to go see her. And then that gives my family back here a chance to be together where my husband can be with the kids and they can do something special, you know, while I'm down there. And it just takes a lot of that stress and worry away. So I just, you know, can't say enough about my mom. I always wanted to contact. I never have, but I was like, I need to like call the Ellen show or something. And, you know, I know they're always doing specials about moms. And right before I was diagnosed with cancer, we actually had a trip planned to Hawaii. We were going, my parents had never been there. We were all going to go. And then boom, you get this diagnosis. So we ended up having to cancel everything we had planned. And actually a lady there in Hawaii, her husband had just passed away from cancer. She was the lady who ran the condo association that we had, you know, had reservations. And when we called, we fully expected to pay our deposit. And she's like, no, I know what you're going through. You don't owe us anything. We'll just cancel this. We'll get someone else in here. And anyway, someday I would just love to give her that vacation back, you know, so maybe I will call the Ellen show someday. I know she does crazy things like that, but I know I'm just rambling about my mom, but I love her. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I can't wait to spend, you know, the time with you here this weekend and, or for the next couple of weeks. And I guess that's it, Robert. There's so much I'd like to say, but that's my story. She's awesome.
That is a great story, and thank you very much for sharing. And you know, kudos to your mom and all that she has done, and that you do for each other. And what a cool way to spend Mother's Day with her, flying up and spending some time with you guys. So I just have a question: how does kids perceive Grandma? Is it a really tight relationship? I know, obviously, the little one, you know, they really grew up with her in the house. How did they perceive her coming and going, you know, traveling back and forth? Do they see her as a part of an immediate family, or is it, oh my goodness, Grandma's coming to town?
No, they do have a very special relationship with my mom. I mean, and they're very close, you know, to their Oma, their other grandma, and my dad and granddad. You know, they're very lucky children to have such amazing family around them. But my mom, like I said, especially with my son, I mean, you know, the times that she sat up and held him and fed him, and, you know, she really was there. Like when he was crying in the middle of the night, I know it sounds crazy, but sometimes myself and my husband, like, we'd be comforting him, but she'd walk in the room and she'd, you know, hold him and he'd calm right down. And he used to twirl her hair in his little finger. And sometimes he's 6 years old now, and he'll still sometimes grab my hair and twirl it. And I know it, you know, it's from my mom. And I don't think, I mean, you know, he knows her heartbeat. He knows all that. And yeah, so it's a special relationship. And like I said, I couldn't have picked anyone better to be there and be mom to my children when I couldn't be, you know?
Right, right. What a cool story. And you know, I don't have, you know, a amazing story like that to share about my mom, but my mom was the one that was always there. I was born in the 70s, so I'm a 70s kid, and that was a different time compared to today, especially for our kids growing up in these times. You know, back then it wasn't uncommon for mom to stay home and be a stay-at-home mom, you know, typical Brady Bunch type mom where she stays home and takes care of the kids. That was my mom. She was the one that that chose to stay home. She always said, I am going to get a job only after all of the kids have moved out and moved on, because my job is to be a mom. And she was the one that I fondly remember at all of our games. She was the you know, the person that drove us around. She was the, she had a, I remember very distinctly, Casey, she had a little keychain that said Mom's Taxi. And that was sort of her job. And she just sort of drove us around in her station wagon, and she would pile all of us kids and, you know, the neighbor kids and everybody that would fit in the car. And she would be the one cheering for us at the games. And she would be the, you know, the class mom or whatever they call it, you know, the mom that comes into the classroom and helps out with the classes and makes the cupcakes and all that kinds of stuff. And, you know, that's what I remember the most about my mom, was her just being there for us when we were kids. And, you know, that's one of my fondest memories of her doing just those things in such a selfless act, being there for whoever needed it, whether it be to take somebody to practice or, you know, if somebody's kid was locked out of the house or whatever, they knew to come to our house and hang out with us until their parents got home from work or whatever. And it was just that way, especially in a much different time than today, where things were a lot freer than they are now. You know, there weren't as many dangers out there. People weren't as afraid of things happening like they do now. You know, there wasn't all of this, you know, stranger danger and all that sort of stuff as there is today. So that's what I remember most about my mom. And she's doing well. She lives in North Carolina. I just went out and visited her and my brothers a couple of summers ago. She's deathly afraid of flying. She's only been on a plane one time in her life, and it was about a 100-mile flight from a couple hundred miles from North Carolina to her home in Kentucky. And they had a really bad bout of turbulence, and she got thrown around a little bit, and she swore she would never get on a plane again. And I bet that was in about 1979, 1980 or so. So I don't foresee my mom coming up here to visit Alaska anytime soon.
You're going to have to go down and drive her up.
Well, you know, I've offered to do that, and you know what she always says. She goes, I would love to go on vacation, but I got all these pets. You know, she has a cat or two and a dog and, you know, all of that, and she doesn't want to leave her pets behind. She doesn't want to put them in boarding or anything like that, or have anybody stay and watch them, because, you know, that's her job, is to, you know, to be a mom. Whether she's a mom to the pets or a mom to us kids, she is just your prototypical mom. When you think of a mom, that's what she is.
Right. And, you know, as we learn, as we grow, and as the years go by, a mom is always a mom. And it doesn't matter how old her children are. They're always her children, right?
Right. Yeah, she still calls me, Casey, she still calls me Robbie. I haven't been called that since grade school, but she still, you know, when I get Christmas cards and birthday cards and we talk on the phone or even on text, she still calls me Robbie. And here I am, 46 years old, and still get called the name I was called by my mom when I was a little kid.
Right. And yeah, and of course, when they speak, we listen, right? So, people listening right now, you know, call your mom, send a card, you know, let them know how much you care. And that stuff means so very much.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I always tell my kids, and, you know, my kids are now grown, and two of them live here in Alaska, and one of them lives in Colorado, and one of them is here right now at the house working with the training dogs. And I tell them all the time, you're never too busy to not contact your mom. Because, you know, it's that special relationship, and, you know, they put their lives on the line for you. So you should do at least the same, and at least contact them once a week or once a day on text or whatever. You know, today's the texting revolution. And I tell you what, I talk to my mom much more on text than I do on the phone. And like I said, she lives in North Carolina, and I don't know how many times I charge my phone by my bed there. I don't know how many times at 3 o'clock in the morning I'll get a text from my mom saying, "Hey, happy birthday," or "Happy Merry Christmas," or whatever. It'll be at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm thinking, "Oh my goodness, it's got to be my mother," you know, because it's 4 hours earlier or 4 hours later there. So when she gets up at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning and texts me, it's still 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning here. So I always know that the phone is going off at just one time. You know, it's obviously she would call if it was an emergency, but if I know it's just one time, it's mom texting me happy birthday or whatever. And that's such a cool thing to see when you wake up, a little message from your mother on your iPhone.
For sure. And, you know, with the technology these days, it's really nice to be able to quickly send a picture or, you know, I mean, there's FaceTime, you know, our kids, or we do FaceTime with the grandparents. And, yeah, it's nice to have that, you know, just letting somebody know, hey, I'm thinking about you and hope you have a good day or happy birthday for all those occasions. But also for people who, you know, whose moms have passed away, and I'm sure they're wishing that they're here. And it can be a hard day, you know, on Mother's Day, and you're missing people that you love. And I hope that you know, if there's other people in your life too that act as motherly figures, you know, it's okay to let them know as well, you know, happy Mother's Day. And like I said, it takes a village to surround us, not just children, but us adult children too, with making our way through life. So, yeah, I hope happy Mother's Day to Michelle, to your wife too. And do you guys have anything special planned for this weekend?
You know, I always get in trouble because I always end up traveling on holidays. I was on our expedition on my anniversary, so I heard about that before and after. And I'm heading to California tomorrow, and I'm going to do a swift water rescue course for my college degree program. I have to do one of those courses. So I'm heading down to Northern California in the morning, and I'll be there for the weekend. Then I'm heading over to the East Coast, to Georgia, to a roller coaster conference. Talk about being a coaster geek. I'm going to a coaster conference in Georgia, Alabama, and Tennessee the following weekend. So I'll be gone for a couple of weeks, but, you know, I already hid a little card for Michelle to find on Mother's Day. So she'll open that on Mother's Day morning, and, of course, we'll talk back and forth. But yep, I'm heading on the road here in a couple of days, so I'll miss yet another holiday, unfortunately.
Right. Well, and it doesn't have to just be the day, right? You celebrate. I mean, we can pick our celebrations, right, to do them whenever we want. But speaking of roller coasters, and I know that we're going to be out of time here, but I didn't even know they had roller coaster conferences. That's really funny. And I love that you guys have this thrill-seeking adventures that you do, and it's not the first time you've gone on these roller coaster, what do you call them, you have a name for them, right, that you go off in the
rock summer. Rock and roller coaster tours. And what we do is we always try to go to a couple of concerts and a few theme parks, and last year we went on 92 roller coasters. I just finished up the blog post the other day, a year late, but I finished them up the other day. We went on 92 coasters from Denver, Colorado, to Portland, Maine, to San Antonio, Texas, and back. So we did sort of a triangle of the country in a rental car, and it was just our way of getting out and seeing the country. Now we talked about, you know, the kids moving out and being grown. That's what we do for our vacations. You know, the kids moved out and it's time for us to, you know, to get out and see a little bit of the country. Michelle lived in California and she grew up in a kind of a farming area. So she didn't get to leave a lot. You know, she lived in a little small town in Central California and didn't get to do a lot of traveling. And so now, here she is in her mid-40s, and it's time to see the country. You know, a couple of years ago, we went to D.C., and we went to New York City and Philadelphia and Gettysburg and visited my parents and did all of that, and we just sort of figured out a way to make it an annual thing. And, you know, some people take cruises and stay in, you know, really classy hotels. We stay in cheap hotels, rent a car, and drive across the country and ride roller coasters. That's sort of our way of enjoying our summers. It's usually a week or two in the summer because we're so busy otherwise.
Well, that's awesome and super fun. And you guys could probably write some great reviews on these theme parks and roller coasters because I think you know every one of them. So I look forward to hearing about your trip that you have planned for later this summer.
Of course. All right, Casey, we are out of time. Again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Make sure you give your mom or that significant person in your life a call, a text, a FaceTime, a Skype, whatever you do. She will appreciate it because, you know, she's sitting there waiting for your call, whether you think she is or is not. She wants to hear from you. So make sure you take that time to make the call. And I'll make sure I tell my kids to at least do the same for their mother because they hold a very special place in your heart, whether you know it or not. And I'm speaking to the young kids out there because, as you know, Casey, when you know, when you become a teenager, young adult, that's the last thing you want to do is be tied down to your parents anymore. And you're going to wish that you had more time with them later in life, aren't you?
Yep, exactly.
Excellent. All right, Casey. Well, thanks for joining us today here on our show, not only to you, but to all of our guests here. And make sure you go out and check us out on iTunes. You can find us under Dog Works Radio. We're still trying to get that fixed. We do have an intro now, so I think it's time to branch out on our own and get our own tag over there on iTunes. You can subscribe to us there. And you can also check us out on Facebook. What is the webpage for Be Alive?
If you put in Go Be Alive, so G-O, go, and then Be Alive, it'll come up on Facebook.
It is the green and white banner, the same one you're looking at as you listen to our show. Go check it out. Lots of stories, lots of inspiration, and if you're lucky, Casey will make you a handmade shirt on her kitchen table or wherever you're making them these days, Casey. I'm sure you still have them for sale or able to make them. So go out there, be alive, and enjoy life. How's that?
See, it sounds good, and we're busy with those shirts, man. I never thought, but it's exciting to do it, and people are really loving them. So we're just going to keep pumping them out and spreading the message.
Very good. All right, on behalf of my co-host, Casey Randall, this is Robert Forto. We'll see you guys next time. Go bye.